our usual disclaimer. In San Francisco, STD rates have been increasing since 2007, with a steeper increase across all three major reportable STDs since 2010. The gonorrhea, chlamydia, and early syphilis rates displayed here are among San Francisco resident men who have sex with men. During the same time period, the number of new HIV diagnoses, shown in yellow bars, has continued to decrease. Similar STD trends are seen nationally. This graph, using the CDC's national data, depicts the STD rates among males. Unfortunately, rate data for MSM aren't available nationally. The primary axis is for the rates of chlamydia in green and gonorrhea in blue. The secondary axis is for the early syphilis rate, shown in red. But limiting the ability to investigate if their morbidity increases are due to increased screening or increased condomless sex is the lack of the denominator for these tests, as well as sexual behavior data. Data from San Francisco's only municipal STD clinic enables a more detailed investigation of how changes in screening practices or sexual behaviors might be associated with the increases in STD prevalence. San Francisco City Clinic is a regional center of excellence for sexual health services, including both STD and HIV screening and treatment. Using the past 3 months as reference, patients are routinely asked about the total number of male, female, or transgender sex partners they have had, whether they had any anal receptive sex, and the number of partners they had for site-specific condomless sex, such as separately asking about anal receptive versus anal insertive sex. In 2015, over the course of 18,526 City Clinic visits, 10,585 patients were seen. 49% of patients were white, 57% were ages 20 to 34, and 55% of males had reported ever having sex with another man. We analyzed trends in STD testing volume, proportion of positive tests, and reported types of sex and numbers of sex partners from 2005 through 2016. The behavioral data were available starting in 2006. We made the cut point for analyzing the time periods through and after 2010 because of the steeper increase in STD rates starting around that time. We focused the analysis of City Clinic among all male patients. We combined all rectal chlamydia and gonorrhea tests by visit, counting positivity once regardless of test, and focused the analysis on reported anal receptive sex. We analyzed two time periods of 6 years each, 2005 to 2010 versus 2011 through 2016. Data for 2016 were extrapolated from the first 6 months of the year. Using t-tests, we examined changes between the two time periods in mean visits and rectal tests, as well as in mean number of anal sex partners. Using chi-square tests, we examine changes in positivity and behaviors. I will present here linear trends through 2016, but describe any differences based on the comparison of the two time periods. Visits to City Clinic among males declined since the high of 18,000 visits in 2005 to an expected approximately 14,000 visits in 2016. The decrease in the average annual number of visits between the two time periods, again 2005 through 2010 versus 2011 through 2016, was significant. While visits declined, the number of rectal tests, shown here in blue, conducted among males at City Clinic remained relatively unchanged, from approximately 4,000 in 2005 to a projected 4,800 in 2016. While the number of tests remained stable over time, positivity of rectal tests increased significantly. The upward trend that started in 2010 has been consistent since 2012, with a positivity of 5.5% in 2015 and an estimated 6.4% in 2016. Just a reminder, data on sex behavior were not available in 2005, so the next set of graphs start with 2006 on the x-axis. The proportion of patient visits when any receptive anal sex was reported for the previous 3 months increased significantly, again starting in 2010 and moving up consistently since 2012, with over 60% of males starting in 2015 reporting any anal receptive sex. The proportion of visits when condomless anal receptive sex in the past 3 months was reported, shown in blue, followed the same trend and was also significantly higher in the 2011 through 2016 period as compared to the earlier years. For the majority of the earlier years, only a quarter to a third of visits included reports of condomless anal receptive sex. To now in 2016, we project that 51% of male visits will report condomless anal receptive sex. The average number of condomless receptive anal sex partners in the past 3 months has been steadily increasing since 2010. The difference in the two time periods was significant. We evaluated this trend separately among only males who received a rectal test as one way of assessing the potential bias if a high proportion of quote-unquote low-risk patients sought care other than at City Clinic over time. The trends were similar among this high-risk proxy subgroup. The increase in chlamydia and gonorrhea positivity among males at City Clinic was significant, while testing volume remained unchanged. During this period, there were significant increases in sexual behaviors that would be associated with risk of rectal STD infection. While analyses using clinic data are limited to care-seeking patients, which is likely further biased in this case because these patients went to an STD clinic, we've shown that monitoring changes in risk behaviors in a community can augment more frequently data from behavioral surveys, such as NHBS. Clinic data can be a readily and routinely available source of behavioral data if asked and collected appropriately. We had run this analysis among a subgroup of patients who had reported checkup as their only reason for visit, in an effort to conduct an analysis that wouldn't be biased by, for example, patient symptoms. The trends in the only checkup group were similar to the all-males analysis I just presented, which we think reflects that even though visits to City Clinic decreased over time, we weren't left with only the patients already engaging in a lot of behaviors that put them at risk for STD and HIV infection, but that there was, in fact, a true increase during this time in all sex and condomless sex. We plan to conduct additional analyses to confirm these conclusions, such as analyzing patients who were in both time periods and evaluating their behaviors, testing patterns, and positivity over time. Around the same time that increases in STDs were seen in San Francisco, so were the promotion and uptake of biomedical interventions for HIV, starting first with universal treatment at diagnosis for HIV starting in 2010. Pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, for HIV was introduced in 2012 through demonstration project and then more widely in 2014. Through other work we have conducted, we have learned that MSM in San Francisco gets screened regularly for STDs, we advise every 3 to 6 months, have access to relatively quick STD testing and treatment, and view HIV as the priority STD for their prevention efforts. The contrast in how clients are concerned or not about STDs as compared to HIV has implications for competing prevention messages and overall sexual health education. As we face how to address these challenging needs of STD programs and policies, STD clinic data can be quite useful in its routine availability and rich detail. I thank my colleagues and the patients of City Clinic who made this work possible. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Dominica. I'm a DIS here in Metro Atlanta for DeKalb County, and I was curious to know why the research focused more on anal receptive and not anal insertive, and does your data from the City Clinic shows more positive gonorrhea rates for anal receptive MSM?
So, thank you. I did not plant this question. We did look at all sites for testing, all modes of partnerships. So we had it just pared down, basically, for this presentation. Here you see, again, the top line is total visits decreasing over time, and then rectal tests here in red, pharyngeal tests in purple, and green tests, urine tests in green, and sort of seeing similar trends. And again, I'll go into that later. Here is a busy, and again, meant to be as just a quick backup slide. We looked at the positivity, which are all the solid lines, and then the partnerships are in dotted lines, basically either anal receptive, anal insertive is the green dotted line. And so we did look at all these modes of infection and sex, but we did just need to pare it down. But because trends are generally similar across all types of sex and sites of infection, we focused in on that just to make it a more possible 10-minute presentation.
Thank you.
Hi, Brad Stoner from St. Louis. Very nice analysis, and my question has to do with how you elicited the information about behavior over time. Is it face-to-face, or did you move to self-reported using a computer interface, and did that change over time?
So the data that I presented here are collected by our clinicians in the City Clinic and are collected in an electronic medical record. The timing, and I have my colleagues here, in terms of when we implemented some of those different elements, I'll have to ask them for those reference points. We have not yet, although we are thinking about options for having self-reported data sort of through kiosks or other tablet types of ways to see if, in fact, we would get maybe different data. But these are all reported to the clinician and entered into our EMR.
Thanks. That was great. Kevin O'Connor, CDC. Any thought about looking at use of sex-seeking apps, just looking at that timeline, what might be behind some of the behavior?
Yes, we have debated long and hard about just sort of how to better understand the role of apps in these changes. And we are fortunate to have folks on our staff and in the California Department of Public Health who are working closely with Grindr and those some of those folks to try to better tie together ways that we can both push out information but maybe also gain information and learn more about maybe partnerships through those apps that might help us better understand our increased behaviors.
Two quick questions. Tom Peterman, CDC. First of all, you use the same lab test the whole time?
Yes. We switch, I think, around 2005. Actually, that's why we also picked 2005 as the starting point, because I think we had a different test before that.
Okay. Secondly, why are the number of visits going down at City Clinic?
We also have debated long and hard about that. So sort of where you see, I think, around 2007-ish, where it sort of drops precipitously, there was a cap actually just imposed at the clinic because we just couldn't really, I think I've heard 136 patients as a high at one point. We just couldn't see that many patients over time. And also the visits became more complex over time as we started to provide more HIV testing and services and care, and also just with PEP and PrEP over time, the visits have become more complex, and I think our ability to really provide the kind of care that we want to provide, it requires that we see fewer patients per day. Great. Thank you.